War, Cattle, and Cowboys, Texas as a Young State, by Heather E. Schwartz. A New State. Before 1845, Texas was a free republic. It had gained its independence, or freedom, from Mexico 9 years earlier. But in 1845, Texas was annexed, or added to, the United States. It became the 28th state in the Union. The next 15 years is known as the antebellum period. This was before the Civil War. During this time, Texas became more like other southern states around it. Many settlers came to the new state from the south. These settlers brought their southern beliefs with them. Like other southern states, Texas grew dependent on cotton. Texas was a slave state. Slave labor made it possible to produce cotton for a profit. The Texas Constitution of 1845 protected slavery. As the Texas cattle industry grew, the state became known for cattle and cowboys. Still, the traits Texas shared with the South were important. As the new state formed its own identity, these southern traits would have a major impact on the future of the United States. Early cattle ranching. By 1845, cattle ranching had a long history in Texas. It began in the early 1700s. The Spanish brought longhorn cattle to Texas to feed Spanish soldiers and missionaries. Longhorn cattle were large and strong. They often weighed 1,800 pounds, 816 kilograms. The horns on their heads could span 4 feet, 1.2 meters. Mexicans living in the Texas Territory had special ways to handle cattle. These Mexican ranchers, called vaqueros, used special tools to catch cattle. One tool was called a lariat, or lasso. This was a long rope with a noose. Vaqueros would keep the lariat near their saddle horns. Vaqueros were brave and tough and had a lot of stamina. Early American cowboys acted and looked like Mexican vaqueros. When people from other parts of the United States moved into Texas, Mexicans taught them how to handle cattle. Vaqueros also passed on their values. Texas ranchers in the 1840s and 1850s mainly ran small businesses that supplied beef to local buyers. Ranching was a small part of the Texas economy for many years. But soon, the ranching industry would experience a boom. The Civil War, a short peace. America was at war with Mexico since 1846. But in 1848, the United States and Mexico signed the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo. This ended the Mexican-American War. The treaty gave parts of Mexico to the United States. After the treaty was signed, new debates over borders began. But this time, the conflicts were within the United States. The South wanted to expand slavery into the new Western Territory, but the North did not support slavery. Texas wanted to expand its border farther west. Southern states liked this idea because Texas was a slave state. Expanding the Texas border would expand slavery, too. Both sides worried the United States would not have a balance of free and slave states. The conflict showed that the issue of slavery could tear apart the nation. Tensions rise. By 1860, slavery was still the major issue dividing the country. Many southern states wanted to secede or withdraw from the Union. In November, Abraham Lincoln was elected president of the United States. He was against slavery expanding west. This made southerners want to secede even more. They saw their slaves as property, and they felt they should be allowed to bring their property into any American territory. In December 1860, South Carolina seceded from the Union. In January 1861, Mississippi, Florida, Alabama, Georgia, and Louisiana followed. By that summer, the rest of the South had also seceded. Texas seceded from the Union in February 1861. Most Texans by this time did not own slaves. Still, many Texans supported slavery. They felt it was central to the state's economy. Texas soon joined the Confederate States of America. The Texas Constitution of 1845 was amended, or changed, to create the Constitution of 1861. This new constitution defended slavery and states' rights more strongly. For example, the new constitution made it illegal to free slaves in Texas. The Civil War begins. In early 1861, Union troops were stationed at Fort Sumter in Charleston Harbor, South Carolina. When South Carolina seceded, the remaining Union troops were left vulnerable or open to harm. President Lincoln wanted to send supplies to the troops. He told South Carolina about his plans, but the Confederate state did not trust Lincoln. They feared he had plans to attack the South. On April 11th, Confederate forces called for the surrender of Fort Sumter. The fort's leader, Major Robert Anderson, refused to give up. He wanted to stay until supplies ran out. On April 12th, the Confederates opened fire. After less than 2 days of fighting, Union forces surrendered the fort. The Battle of Fort Sumter ended quickly, and there were no casualties. But it was an important battle. Both sides thought they had been pushed into war by the other side. The South felt Lincoln had forced it to attack by sending supplies to Fort Sumter. South Carolina thought it should control the fort since the state had left the Union. The North felt that Confederates started the war by attacking a federal fort. But both sides agreed that Fort Sumter marked the start of war. The war comes to Texas. Texas did not escape the fighting during the Civil War. Galveston Harbor was the largest seaport in Texas. Union leaders knew it was an important port to control. On October 4, 1862, Union troops entered Galveston. Texas Confederates tried to defend the port, but Union forces were too strong. Union commander W.B. Renshaw demanded that Confederates surrender the port. His demand was part of a larger plan. The Union wanted to stop goods from coming into and going out of Texas. For a short time, the Union had control of Galveston, but in November, Major General John Bankhead Magruder took charge of the Confederate troops. He wanted to take the port back for the Confederacy. Magruder ordered a naval attack on Union troops at Galveston. He also ordered a sneak attack over a bridge. Former Texas Revolutionary fighter Thomas Green helped in the attack. The Confederates entered the port by ship on January 1st, 1863. They opened fire and won control of Galveston Harbor. Unlike Fort Sumter, this battle was deadly. The Confederacy lost 26 men, and 117 more were wounded. The Union lost around 600 men. Success for the South. The early part of the Civil War went well for the Confederacy. The South won important battles in the first years of the war. The Confederate success lasted even longer in Texas. Later in 1863, the Confederacy had another victory in the Battle of Sabine Pass. On September 8th, Union troops entered the area by ship, planning to travel the Sabine River. They hoped to block a railroad that led out of Houston. But to do this, they first needed to take over Fort Griffin. This was a Confederate fort where Southern men had been sent as punishment. There were only 44 men at Fort Griffin. They spent their time firing artillery or large weapons into the river. When the Union troops approached, the Confederates were ready. Led by Lieutenant Richard W. Dowling, the Confederates forced the Union troops to stop. They took about 200 Union troops as prisoners. The war ends. Confederates won many battles early in the war, but over time it became clear that the Union was stronger. The North had too many resources for the South to win. By the summer of 1863, Union forces started to control the war. The Union was winning, but the Confederates continued to defend Texas. On May 11, 1865, Colonel Theodore H. Barrett and Lieutenant Colonel David Branson led Union troops in an attack on Confederate troops. The battle took place on Brazos Island in South Texas. The next day, Union troops surrounded a Confederate outpost, but they soon learned the outpost was empty. It was late at night, and Branson led the troops to a place where they could sleep along the Rio Grande. The next morning, civilians warned the Confederates that Union troops were there, but Branson found out and led an attack on a Confederate camp at Palmito Ranch. The Battle of Palmito Ranch was the last battle of the Civil War. It resulted in a Confederate victory on May 13, 1865, but it was too late. The South had already lost the Civil War. Rebuilding Texas. After the Civil War, the United States went through many changes. This period of change after the war was called Reconstruction. Texas went through these changes too. In June 1865, the U.S. Army took over Texas. The goal was to protect emancipated or freed African Americans. Freedom meant new kinds of relations between African Americans and white people in Texas. Many white people had a hard time treating former slaves as their equals. The United States wanted to make sure Texas would be loyal to the nation and respect the new laws and ways of living. In 1866, six regiments of African American troops were added to the U.S. Army. These soldiers served many roles in Texas. They helped rebuild the state and enforce the new rules. American Indians called these troops Buffalo Soldiers. It was a respectful name because American Indians respected bison. As soldiers, African Americans earned more money than they could make in most other jobs. They also earned respect from Army officers who had doubted them. Cattle and cowboys, the rise of the cattle industry. The Texas cattle industry began to grow after the Civil War. Texans had led cattle drives before the war, but in 1866, more ranchers began hiring cowboys to drive their cattle to other states where livestock could be sold at higher prices. Ranchers opened new trails for cattle drives. Jesse Chisholm, a trader who was part Cherokee, blazed an early trail. The trail was expanded to lead from the Rio Grande in Texas north to Kansas. By 1867, it was known as the Chisholm Trail. In 1866, ranchers Charles Goodnight and Oliver Loving blazed another route from Texas. It led through New Mexico and Colorado to Wyoming. This trail became known as the Goodnight-Loving Trail. In 1874, cattle driver John T. Lytle blazed a trail called the Western Trail that led from Texas to Nebraska. In 1866, cowboys drove nearly 300,000 cattle along trails out of Texas. When the cattle industry was at its height, even larger cattle drives took place. The largest drive was in 1871, when about 700,000 cattle were moved along trails from Texas to Kansas. Cowboy life. Texas cowboys came from different walks of life. Many Civil War veterans became cowboys. Freed slaves became cowboys. Runaways and drifters became cowboys too. No matter where they came from, cowboys had to be strong and tough to handle their jobs. Cattle were not easy to control on drives. They sometimes spread out across 2 miles, 3 kilometers, of land. When this happened, cowboys had to surround the animals at different points. They communicated with their fellow workers by using hand signals borrowed from American Indian Sign Language. They also gestured with their hats. Cowboys worked in crews of about 12 men and managed 2,000 to 3,000 cattle. Drives often covered 10 to 15 miles, 16 to 24 kilometers each day, and took around 25 to 100 days to complete. Cowboys were not the only people who drove cattle. Cowgirls drove cattle too. Sometimes they dressed as men to disguise themselves. One of the most successful Texas cowgirls of the 1870s and 1880s was Lizzie Johnson. She made cattle her business and never disguised herself. Lizzie bought her own herd and had her own brand. She became one of the first women to drive her herd along the Chisholm Trail. Dangers on the trail. Texas cowboys faced harsh conditions on cattle drives. They had to handle their herds in all kinds of weather. During dry times, they struggled to find water for the animals and for themselves. During rainy periods, they had trouble crossing flooded rivers. Drowning was a real threat. Lightning and thunder could also cause problems by scaring cattle. Frightened cattle sometimes led to a stampede. The animals would run wild and scatter. Before they were rounded up, they could easily kill cowboys by trampling them. There were other dangers on the trails, too. In parts of Texas, cowboys might face American Indian attacks. They also had to watch out for rattlesnakes. A rattlesnake bite could be deadly. When cowboys were injured or became ill on the trail, they had to rely on homemade cures. A typical cure for a rattlesnake bite in the 1800s was to cut the skin around the bite. Then the poison could be squeezed or sucked out of the wound. When cowboys got other kinds of wounds, they applied a prickly pear cactus poultice, or soft pack. To stay healthy on the trail, cowboys often drank bison meat juice. End of an era. Cattle drives did not last as a major part of the Texas economy. Problems with the system began as early as the 1850s. Texas cattle were not allowed to enter some states. The cattle sometimes carried a deadly disease that could spread to other cattle. Harsh winters in the late 1880s made travel by trail very dangerous. By the late 1880s, new railroads meant there was less need to drive cattle to distant markets. The meat could be shipped to other states in refrigerated train cars. When it closed in 1884, more than 5 million cattle had traveled the Chisholm Trail. About 2 million cattle had traveled the Western Trail by the time it closed in 1894. Use of the Goodnight Loving Trail ended in the early 1880s. By 1900, cowboys who roamed the open range were a relic of the past. Some joined Wild West shows. In these shows, they could use their skills performing for audiences. Over time, Wild West shows evolved into rodeo shows. In this way, the cowboy legacy lives on in modern Texas.